Well, Hartzell, to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And today's message is the message I preached just day before yesterday. It was our Sunday message this past Sunday. So why don't you get your Bibles, if you can, open them to Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 14. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart as we go to the message right now entitled Paul in His Steadfastness. And may God bless you as you listen. You're living in a world of change.
Yes, sir.
No, listen to me. You're living in a world of change. Your world is changing day by day. Your nation is changing day by day. And you need to be sensitive to the times that you're living. And you need to give yourself to intercessory prayer.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me make something very, very, very clear. My background did not lead itself or lend itself to a lot of guesswork. My background lent itself to facts. And I'm here to say to you that most of the church is asleep at the switch.
Hello.
I'm here to say to you today that you're watching incremental changes even in this nation right now that point to another day, a fulfillment of Scripture, the prophetic Word of God. And so I'm saying this to you because I want you to be sensitive to the times in which you are living. I want you to give yourself to intercessory prayer on behalf of the nation and the nations of the world. So much of the church is deceived.
Amen.
So much of the church does not really understand eschatology, the end times. They have bought into the Immanuel Lacanza description of end times. Protestant pulpits have bought into the Immanuel Lacanza, the Jesuit Catholic priest. They have bought into his scenario. And they're teaching his scenario. And his scenario is wrong.
Amen.
Of course, he changed the position three different times. But his scenario is wrong. What I want you to know this morning, as I go into this message, it's not a message on eschatology. It's simply the last message this morning, I suppose, in the book of the... Once again, we're into Paul, what Paul did, what Paul said, Philippians. But I want you to go ahead and open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. We're looking this morning at Paul's steadfastness. Paul's steadfastness. He held on to his Savior, his belief, his faith in trying times. The church had been birthed. The church was being advanced. And he was part of the team that God was using to advance the church. And he was facing opposition. We haven't faced what Paul faced. Every day of the world, he was facing opposition. You're not.
No.
You're not concerned about your testimony. You're not concerned about your witness getting you into trouble. You're not concerned about that. He knew the opposition of the enemy. And he went on and pressed on in spite of the opposition of the enemy. And folks, you're living in a changing world. And the change is going to become increasingly more evident to you. And here's my one hope. This is the only real bright spot in everything I see. God has turned all of his work over to the church.
Amen.
End of conversation. Now, the spirit of Antichrist cannot advance his program and his ministry and his one world order until the church allows him to do so.
Amen.
Hear me.
Amen.
It's up to the church. God has turned all of his work over to the church. It's in our hands. We either do it or we don't get it done. We either do it or it doesn't get done. And quite frankly, right now, the church is failing. In the nations of the world. So I'm just a biblicist. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a biblicist. I believe the Word of God. I take the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. And I try to teach it that way. I try to live what I teach in my own private life. So this morning as we come to this, understand this, Paul was not just a fair-weather disciple of Christ.
No.
He wasn't that kind of disciple. I don't know what kind you are.
Hello.
I don't know how you stand up against opposition in the marketplace, in the office, in the family. But he was not a fair-weather disciple. He was focused. He was intense. And because of that, he experienced some pretty severe storms in his life. You stand for Christ, you're going to experience some pretty severe storms.
Amen.
And please understand this. Not everybody who prays is going to go to glory.
Hello.
Not everybody who claims the name of Christ is going to go to glory. No, only those who've been born again. Paul experienced some pretty severe times in his life. Some pretty severe times. And yet he remained obedient. He remained 195 stripes. 195 stripes. By people in his own race, Jews, in the synagogues. A day and a half, couple days out, floating around in the ocean. I mean, the man knew opposition. The man knew what it was to be faithful. The man knew what it was to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I feel that so much of that is missing today. Nothing you or I have ever faced will ever measure up to what he faced on a daily basis. Nothing you or I have ever faced can measure up to what he faced. And yet he remained strong in the Lord, the power of his might. He remained consistent. We have to understand, once again, the Philippians, what we're up against here. There's a couple of verses in this that I really want to kind of bear down on. It's all relevant. But there's a couple of verses that I think have been misrepresented in the church for a great deal. And we need to understand it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul continuing writing to them. Remember, he's in Rome. He's a prisoner. He's in Rome. And he's writing the first church he ever planted. He planted the church of Philippi. And he's concerned about them, and he's writing them. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, you were willing, but you lacked opportunity. He said, I know you wanted to help me, but you lacked the opportunity. You had the heart. You had the heart to help. You had the willingness to help, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity. Now, you've had the opportunity. And you've seized the opportunity. Don't let that escape you. You'd be surprised how many times a day God presents you with an opportunity, but do you seize the opportunity? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the fact that he's making an opportunity available to you in whatever way? Did you use that opportunity that God made available to you? Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned Watch this carefully. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the conditions are. No matter what's going on, I have learned to be content. Wherefore, whatsoever state I'm in, regardless of the situation or the circumstances that I'm in, I have learned to be content. How do you measure up there? How do you measure up there? Whatever's going on in my life doesn't matter, he says. It just simply doesn't matter what's going on. I'm content. Regardless of the opposition, regardless of what is affecting me, influencing me, whatever's coming against me, I'm content. Now, the reason he was content was he knew who he was in Christ Jesus. He knew beyond any doubt who he was and what he was in Christ Jesus. And I'm saying to you this morning, about 85% of the church doesn't know that. I've told you before, I say it again. Billy Graham said that in his opinion, only about 15% of the church is saved. Out of all the membership, and I think Billy had some insight, that about 15% might be born again, leaving 85% who would not be born again. Whatsoever state I'm in, regardless of the situation I find myself, regardless of the circumstances I'm in, to be content. Are you there? Can you be content? Can you see in the hand of God whatever you are experiencing? Can you see it as being allowed by God? Permitted by God? Perhaps ordained by God? Have you seen that? Are you a child of God?
Yes, sir.
Born again?
Yes, sir.
Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
It's not a cakewalk.
No.
It's not a cakewalk. And so Paul has learned that. He says, I've learned to be content. He says, I have reached a place I can see the hand of God in every situation and circumstance in my life. Are you there? How much of the church is there? How many of us are there? Paul got there. Speaking of Jesus, Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Speaking of Jesus, Paul said this, in him, Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance. See, this is why he was so steadfast. He understood this. In him, in Jesus, also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Independently, individually, nationally, internationally, he is working everything in accordance with his will.
Amen.
Stop and think about what I just said to you. In your life, in this city, in this nation, in the nations of the world, he is working everything according to his will. Now, here comes the cruncher. God has, and it took me so long to really grasp this, God has, in effect, turned all of his work over to the church.
Amen.
We are the salt, the preservative in a sin-cursed society.
Amen.
We are the light in darkness in a sin-cursed society. And God has, in his wisdom, omnipotence, turned all of his work over to the bride.
Hello.
We, the church, are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
We're just waiting for the consummation of the marriage. But that day is coming when we, the bride of Christ, the marriage will be consummated, will be received into glory, And at that point in time in eschatology, when God sees fit to pull it all together, but understand this, this nation is undergoing change as I speak to you. The nations of the world are undergoing change. And the people of God, for the most part, are oblivious to what is really going on. And we need to be sensitive to the times in which we're living. We need to give ourselves to prayer, intercessory prayer. We need to be the salt. We need to be the light. Because, watch this again, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, predetermined, predestined, according to the purpose, His purpose, not my purpose, not your purpose, His purpose. He has a purpose. And we have been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, everything, all things, after the counsel of His own will. Everything, everything. It's what the Word of God says. Either you believe it or you don't. You either receive it or you don't. Once you receive it, then you take a different look at the affairs of your own life. What God permits, what God allows. You look at the life of the nation of the world. You got people sitting at home this morning that if they were pushed to say, so, yes, if I die, I'm going to go to glory. And they'll go straight to hell. They don't really know Christ. They've never been born again. They've never become a new creation in Christ Jesus. They have a lip service. And that's as far as it goes. Just a lip service. That verse, 111, teaches us that God, our Heavenly Father, has always been at work in our lives from the day we were born. I look back across my life, and I see His hand in every... I see the time, yes, when I was in the rebellion, but He was still protecting. Amen. He was still providing. He did the same thing for you. Yes, sir. When you were in rebellion, because before the foundation of the world, before there was anything except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before there was anything else, He was. And you existed in His mind. Amen. And He knew. He knew you before the foundation of the world. We're talking about God here. Omnipotent, omniscient God, which is so hard for us to grasp. But you have to understand this, that our Heavenly Father has always been at work in our lives when we didn't even recognize He was around. He's been blending the events of our lives together. He's been working everything after the counsel of His own will. He's blended all the circumstances of your life together under His lordship and under His will. And all of that was the process of conforming you and me to Christ's likeness. We were resisting the conforming process. We had our own ideas, our own hang-ups. And, oh, Father God, help us. We came out of the womb. Every last one of us came out of the womb with the sins of the fathers, affecting and influencing. Every last one of us came out of the womb. And we would experience wounds and bruises in the Spirit beginning at a very early age. And those wounds and bruises in the Spirit would influence us and affect us for years and years and years to come. And that is why the Word of God says only God can set us free. Only Christ Jesus can set us free. And we have people sitting in churches all over America today who still need a greater measure of freedom. We all are on a walk with God. We're all moving to different levels of freedom in Christ Jesus. It's called spiritual maturity. That's what it's all about. He overrode and overruled our dumb decisions. Thank God. He overruled all of my dumb decisions. He overruled all of my bad decisions. Everything that I was going this way, and He said, no, that won't work. So He would just tweak it here and tweak it there and change it here and change it there. And I look back across my life, and I just see so much of His hand so early on in my life. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Romans 8:28. Please understand this. We know that all things, how many times have you heard me preach this? How many times have you read it and it didn't register? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things? The discouragement? The disappointment? The failure? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. His sovereign will overriding and overruling in our lives and overcoming our dumb, ignorant, bad mistakes, correcting our bad decisions, and in it all and through it all, see the hand of God, the Spirit of God working in your life. Look back across your life. Look back and you will see the Spirit of God, the hand of God working in your life in the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as the indifferent, bringing us to an end of ourselves. You see, before God, listen to me, before God can really have his way in your life, he's got to bring you to the end of yourself. He's got to bring you to the end of yourself.
Yes,
unless you become as little children, he says. Oh, wait a minute, preacher, you don't understand. I got this degree and I got that degree and I've got this experience and that experience. I've got this in my background. I got that in my background. I accomplished this. I accomplished that. What do you mean become as a child? I didn't say it. God said it. Except you become as little children. In other words, I've got to be willing to trust him. I've got to be willing to believe him. I've got to be willing to trust, believe, and obey.
Amen.
Whatever the consequences. Regardless of the consequences. Philippians 4:12. Paul goes on this big verse, folks. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. That's what the Word of God says. Paul experienced this. I really didn't, and nor did you. None of us expected the storms in life we were going to meet. We did not anticipate the emotional storms, the physical storms, the various storms we were going to meet in life. We didn't anticipate that. We didn't expect that, but they came. And I know within my own life, and you can say the same thing, I'm sure, I have experienced the hand of God protecting me.
Amen.
I have experienced the hand of God protecting and providing. And through it all and in it all, he was bringing me to an end of myself, and that was no easy task. I dare say it probably wasn't an easy task in your life either. To bring me to an end of myself where I would say, I give up, I surrender, I can't do this on my own, I can't pull this off, I can't be that, I can't do that, I can't accomplish that. I give up, I submit, I surrender.
Amen.
We fight that. We resist that. Hard to get the big guy off the throne of the life. We want to keep the big guy on the throne of the life. But then you see, the whole process conforming me to Christ's likeness. That's his goal for me. That's his goal for you. To conform us to Christ's likeness, making us ever increasingly more like Christ. But I discovered this. Philippians 4:13. Watch this now. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What does that mean? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That doesn't mean that you can leap off a cliff and fly. It means this. It means that you can do all things that Christ has commanded you to do. You can be whatever Christ has commanded you to be if you are willing to submit and surrender to his lordship. I can do all things through Christ. You offend me, I can forgive you. Fully, completely, totally, thoroughly, through Christ. I can't do it in myself. I want to punch you. And somebody knew exactly what I'm talking about. But in Christ Jesus, I can forgive you. If I'm willing to submit and surrender to His Lordship. Now stop and think about what we're saying. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I can do anything and I can do everything that God in His Word commands me to do.
Amen.
Which means not only can I do anything and not only can I do everything that God commands me to do, I can be whatever God commands me to be.
Amen.
Not on my own, not in my own strength, only as I am submitted and surrendered to His Lordship in my life, only as I am enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. But when I submit and surrender, I can be enabled and empowered to be and to do whatever He tells me to be and to do.
Yes.
And what's true of me is true of you.
We
don't have to walk in failure. We can walk in victory. Paul's testimony can be our testimony. That was Paul saying this. This is Paul. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's his testimony. When you look at his life, what he went through, 195 stripes imposed by the synagogue, rulers in the synagogue, 195 stripes, I can be all. Paul is saying, he's really saying, I can be all and I can do all that Christ requires of me. Well, the first thing I have to do is get up every morning and die to self.
Amen.
The first thing I have to do every morning of the world is get out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and die to self. Dethrone the big I. Get the big I off the throne of my life. And say to Jesus Christ, occupy the throne of my life.
Amen.
Every thought, every action, every reaction, every response, I want it all under your Lordship. Dying to self. Then I can be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And once I'm enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, there's nothing I can accomplish that God would have me to accomplish. And what's true of me is true of you. As I submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, this is victorious living, folks. This is victorious living. Once I submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Anytime we submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we can be empowered and enabled to do whatever we're told to do. But there's a difference in each of us, and each of us have to respond and react individually, personally, too. I can't walk out yours, and you can't walk out mine. I cannot walk out your process of sanctification, and you cannot walk out my process of sanctification. Now, there's commonality. There's commonality in each of our expressions of discipleship and being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. There is commonality. And one of the main ingredients of that commonality is submission and obedience. It starts there. Am I willing to be whatever God wants me to be? Am I willing to do whatever God wants me to do? If I'm willing to be whatever God wants me to be, and if I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do, am I willing to submit? Submission is a word we don't like. Am I willing to submit? Am I willing to surrender? Now you see, you and I have this in common. Born again, yes. Indwelt by the Spirit of God, yes. But we've got different levels of stuff we got to come through to be conformed to the image of Christ. And some of that started in the womb.
Hello.
Some of that started in the womb, but what you felt in the womb and what you brought out of the womb with you. That is why the Word of God teaches us that we come into the kingdom of God as spiritual infants, and then it becomes a matter of spiritual growth, And we've got to come through all these 4 to 5 different levels, I keep telling you, of spiritual growth. But it's not easy at times. Because in order to get to the next level, this part of me has got to die. Now, that part of me died as I came through level 1 and 2. Wait a minute, now I'm at level 3. And you mean there's more of me that's got to die to self? We never get through dying to self until we get to glory. If we're going to walk in His anointing and His power in submission to His will, bits and pieces of us are going to continue to die till we get to glory. Philippians 4:14. Paul goes on. Remember, he's in prison in Rome. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You've been used of God to supply my need." Now, let me ask you this. Whose need have you met that God used you to meet their need? Stop and think about what I'm saying. See, if you're not careful, you'll let the opportunities pass you by. God will put a person in your life, allow you to be in a situation or circumstance where that other person needs what you can give, what you can provide. And it's not necessarily money. It may be encouragement. It may be just a kind word. It may be just a short testimony. Very quick. But it's there. Now, here's our problem. Too many times we're insensitive to the whisper of the Holy Spirit because I've told you before, He never shouts. He never shouts. He never snaps you upside the head. It's just a... Am I going to be sensitive to it? Or am I not going to be sensitive to it? Now, sometimes He has to blow a little harder than other times. But still, you've got will. He will not violate your will. He will not violate your will. He will continue to work with you, bringing your will in subjection to His will, so that you can submit your will to His will, but He will not violate your personal will. He can make you wish you had. Philippians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now, Macedonia, that's what we call northern Greece now. And that's where he was, first church he planted up there. And he says, you were the only church. You were the only ones that helped me in my need. You provided my support. Now, let me tell you what you do. Go to our website, childlessministers.com. Click on missions. And look at some of the photographs. Right now, just this week, I'm sending $1,000. I don't ordinarily do that. But I'm sending $1,000 this week to one of our church planters. You should go on our website and look at the pathetic little building they're putting up. It's out in the jungles, and they've got trees, and but it's just and you know, a little cinder block thing. But they needed about $2,000. And I hesitated at first. Then I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to go ahead and give them $1,000. I don't normally we let them develop the church themselves, pay for the church themselves, and then we support the church planner who goes in to train the people. But in this instance, I felt led of the Holy Spirit to furnish $1,000 toward building the building. I hesitated for a week and didn't send it until last night. But last night it became so heavy on my head to send it. I set it up last night. So what you understand is that when we get into this whole process of missions and planting churches and spreading the gospel, Macedonia, Paul was a church planter. We are a church planting ministry. You are part of a church. Listen to me. You are sending the gospel into places where they never had even seen a white man. You are sending the gospel and planting churches in places where they had never heard the gospel and didn't even know there was a gospel. This little handful of people here in our radio congregation, that's how it's getting done, by God's grace. I'll never forget the day when God told me to start this ministry. And I went up to American National Bank. I took $10 out of my money clip. I put it down in an open account in the name of Childless Ministries International. And you see what God has done since then. $10 started the account. And now we've got 16 church planters. We got a child feeding program. We're involved in all kinds of expression of ministry. Why? Because obedience. A $10 bill. I rarely ever mention it on the radio. I rarely ever mention the need of funds on the radio. I trust God to send it as it is needed. And you can do the same thing in your life, in every affair of your life. We're the only church in some instances that have taken the gospel into places where it's never been heard. Philippians 4:16, Paul says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." He says, you were a constant source of supply. I'll never forget Ernie Tolentino. Ernie Tolentino was a Catholic. He was on President Marcos's presidential staff, working for President Marcos in the Philippines. Then he heard the gospel, and he got saved. Well, when he got saved, he started sharing the gospel. And they called him in one day and said, "Listen, you can do one of two things. You can either work here on the president's press staff, or you can go out and plant churches. But you can't do both." He said, "I'll go plant churches." Name was Ernie Tolentino. Well, he was the first church planter we ever provided support for. And my first trip to the Philippines, he met me, took me to his little house, and the next morning went up to the grocery store to buy something to feed me. These folks live, folks, I've been in a home where the best they could give me was a saltine cracker and a cup of water. That's the best they could give me. Saltine crackers and a glass of water. This guy here is a church planter. Paul is a church planter. He's planted this church. He goes in there. He starts teaching, spreading the gospel, seeing souls saved, starts the church. Look at this now. Philippians 4:17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I also desire fruit that may abound to your account." You see, God takes note of what you give. God takes note of what you give. God takes note of it, and He rewards accordingly. You can't outgive God. Amen. I remember the time I went to a meeting here in Jacksonville. I had a $100 bill. Those were kind of rare. But I had a $100 bill. Now, I knew it was going to take an offering. So I went to the clerk and got my 100 changed into 520s. So now I can give them 20, I can give them 40. Well, they take the offering, and the Lord says, "Give them the 100. And I said, "But," the Lord said, "Give them the 100. I thought, well, I could have saved myself in trouble, just give it to begin with, instead of going and get 520s. You see, here's the key. Hear God. Folks, I came out of Southeast Asia during Nam, and we spent the night at Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. And the next morning, we flew out. And as we flew out, I took one look down that jungle, and I said, "Well, I'll never be back over here again." Little did I know. But we flew out, and I was looking at it thinking, "I'll never be back over here again." Then one day, I'm driving down San Jose Boulevard, and the Lord said, "I want you to go to the Philippines." I said, "I don't have the money." He said, "I do. I've told you this story before." And so over the next few weeks, I've made the reservation. In faith, I made the reservation. But the day before I had to finalize the reservation, I was still about $1,200 or better short. The Lord had me stop and pray for a lady. She gave me the rest of the money. She said, "I understand you're going to the Philippines." She reached in her purse. She got the money out, gave me what I needed to buy the ticket, and I went and bought the ticket and went to the Philippines. When I got off in the Philippines, I didn't know why I was there, except I was obedient. I was obeying. But God took that act of obedience, and now we've got 16 church planters. And we're planting churches in places where they've never heard the gospel before. Many times they've never seen a white man. All that's involved in this because he was a church planter. Amen. I'm not bragging on me or Philippines. I mean, I'm just telling you, we are doing the same thing he was doing. He was a church planter, and you're part of it. You're part of it. Philippians 4:18. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He says, once again, you've met my need. Once again, you've come through. You've met my need. All right, we come to the second verse I really want to stress on. Hear me. Let me say this before I get into it. I never push you for money. When I finally surrendered to the ministry, I made pretty good money. And I was going down to renew my license, even though I was in seminary. And God said, burn your license. I've mentioned this to you before. And I went back upstairs, and I said to Sharon, I said, come in here. We had a fire in the fireplace. I said, God is telling me to burn my license. I didn't want to burn that license. But kneeling in front of that fireplace with her beside me, praying, I laid that license on the fire in the fireplace. And I said, there goes my profession. There goes my ability to make money. But I'm obedient. So I burnt the thing. As I came through the stages of development and submission and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I had to come to grips with things like I'm about to say to you. Now you look at this verse, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Does that speak just to finances?
No.
Or does it speak to every expression of life?
Every expression of life.
My God, Paul says, Emmanuel God, Jehovah God, will supply all your need. Not necessarily all your wishes, but even some of those. Not necessarily all your wants, but even some of those. Need. But my God shall supply, not part of, not some of, all your need according to his riches. He never goes bankrupt. He never runs out of ability. He never runs out of anointing. He never runs out of skill. He is God. He is God. You see, this reality that we're studying right now has been proven by hundreds of thousands of people. Individuals have proven this by multitudes. My experience, I remember one time I was 6, 7 years old, and I'm in Sunday school, and I had a dime. And dimes weren't that easy to come by. But just taking the offering, and I have a dime. I gave my dime. I gave the Lord my dime. Now I'm broke. I got school the next day, and I'm broke. The next morning, my dad is walking out, getting ready to go to work, and he stopped at the table where I was eating, and he put a stack of 6 dimes on the table and said, here, son, you may need that today. He had never done that before. He never did it again. He did it that morning after I had obeyed God the day before and given my one dime. He returned it 6 dimes for 1 dime. Well, man, I'm good for a week now. Of course, things weren't expensive then as they are now, but I got 6 dimes. I'm good to go. But I remember sitting at that table thinking, I gave a dime yesterday. I get 6 dimes today. I'm going to keep giving to God. I'm going to keep on giving to God. So, anyway, it begins, folks, by yielding to him. Just get up every day of the world and say, Father, here am I. I yield to you completely, thoroughly, totally, without reservation. I yield to you and to your lordship in my life. Philippians 4:20, our last verse. Paul says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. To our God be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now listen. We're going to all go to glory. Those of us, I don't have any doubt that the people sitting here this morning are born again. We may as well get along now because we're going to be together for all of eternity. We're going to lay down one day and die, but we're going to wake up in glory.
Amen.
And we're going to say, hello, glory. I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. Remember that song? Oh, if I knew how to close this, I would, but I don't know how to close it. So, Roswell, come on up. Heavenly Father, I've staggered through this and stumbled through, but I knew what I felt in my spirit, Lord. You're omnipotent, omniscient God. There's not a thing I need you can't supply. There's nothing in my life that caught you by surprise. And you loved me in spite of me. You loved me in spite of me because you knew me before the foundation of the world, just like the rest of these precious souls in here. You knew us before the foundation of the world. You adopted us because you knew, Father God, we were adoptable, and so you adopted us. And we thank you for it. We thank you for we can call you Father. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I can call you Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to teach this morning. And Father, please take it. Expand it in the hearts and lives of these who've heard it. Use it, I pray, to advance the kingdom of God. This I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I don't want to quit, but I'm going to.
Well, dear hearts, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And I hope you'll take note of those things I mentioned going into the message today as I try to keep our people sensitive to the times in which they're living. And I say my people, our people, you, as our radio congregation, a part, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of Challenge Ministries. Many of you help support the ministry, and I appreciate it so very much. But I want you to understand and be sensitive to the times in which you're living. I want you to be sensitive to the changing of the times in which we're living. I want you to give yourself to intercessory prayer, folks. I want you to give yourself to intercessory prayer. I want you to go before the throne of God on a daily basis, if you will, lifting up the kingdom of God in the nations of the world and in this nation. I gave up on a pre-tribulation rapture theory many, many, many years ago. And once I gave up on the pre-tribulational rapture theory, I had to take a long, hard look at the mid-tribulational rapture theory, and I had to give up on that too. As I use a process of systematic theology, and glory be to God, I was so glad to find real Bible scholars. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm a preacher. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just try to understand the Word of God, teach the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. I like to practice systematic theology, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Well, if you're going to do that, if you're going to practice systematic theology, and if you're going to compare Scripture with Scripture, there's a lot of positions that you've been taught that you might have to question. Me, I had to question the pre-tribulational rapture theory. Once I got and I came to grips with the pre-tribulational rapture theory and realized I could not embrace it, I could not teach it from the pulpit because I didn't want to mislead anybody, then I had to deal with the mid-tribulational rapture theory. Once I got through dealing with that, and as I continued over the years, not just a few weeks, folks, months, years, as I continued to look, to pray, to research, and then I found some men that God had really, really used in a magnificent, marvelous way. I'm talking about scholars. I'm talking about men with degrees. I'm talking about men who could understand both the Hebrew and the Greek. But as I found these men, and I found those who themselves had finally had to leave the pre-tribulational rapture theory, because we know where the pre-tribulational rapture theory began. I've talked to this before, Emmanuel Lacunza, a Jesuit Catholic priest, who himself changed his position some three times. But his position was embraced so much, so early on, and declared and taught in the churches, and then pastor after pastor simply adopted that which the denomination had adopted. When we get into the Word of God and we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that the church is going to face the Antichrist. There is not a pre-tribulational rapture. There is not a mid-tribulational rapture. There is the pre-wrath rapture, just before the wrath of God falls on the government of Antichrist, through which and in which the church is undergoing tremendous persecution. And only God in heaven knows what will be occurring to the church, to the people of God, under the rule and the reign of the spirit of Antichrist, where everything about God and every person related to God is absolutely hated. So, I want you praying, and do your own research. Do as I did. Get into the Word of God for yourself, and get into the scholars of yesterday, and find out where some of them stood. Now, I'm going to take you to prayer. And before we pray, I want to prepare your heart to pray with this, if I may.
Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But then I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine.
My Lord and my God, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll take today's message, and that we, like Paul, might remain steadfast in our faith, regardless of the opposition, regardless of what we face, regardless of that which we must face. Father God, Paul faced so much, the beatings, the scourging, the imprisonment. Father, hungry, doing without, floating around in the ocean for 2 or 3 days at a time. Father God, what the man underwent. Help us, the people of God today, to be faithful, Father, to be steadfast, that we might trust in you and believe in you and believe your word and submit and surrender to your lordship in our life day by day by day, regardless of what comes against us. Father God, I live in a changing world, and I live in a world that slowly but surely inexorably is drifting towards that point in time where there can be an individual that we know as the Antichrist who will be ruling and reigning and governing in the nations of the world. And Father, I'm asking you to stir the hearts of your people. Stir the hearts of your people to repentance and to intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world. Father God, give us sensitivity to the signs of the times. Give us sensitivity to the signs of the times. And let us give ourselves to repentance, holiness, holy, godly living, and intercessory prayer. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Let's close the broadcast today with this, shall we?
Would you pray?
Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to get together and do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.